welcome to the Learning Resource Network's Member Success Stories LearnCast. My name is Greg Marcello, and I am a Learn co-founder and senior vice president and today's moderator. Learn Member Success Stories LearnCasts are 10 to 20 minutes long and are interviews with Learn member programs that have a success story to tell. Today, I'm joined by Eric Johnson, the Associate Vice President of the Center for Enterprise at Northeast College in Nebraska. He will be updating us on the Center for Enterprise's work, including coaching and consulting with contracts sold to business and industry. Welcome, Eric.
Thank you, Greg. Happy to be here.
Well, super. I think everyone's going to be interested in what you got to say. I think probably first, before we get into the details, why don't you share with us a little bit about the Center for Enterprise?
Yeah, not a problem, Greg. About 7 years ago, I was the dean of our business college here, and our new president had approached me about creating an entrepreneurial arm under the wing of Northeast Community College and really kind of revitalizing our continuing education department. It sounded like a challenge, one that I was eagerly anticipating diving into, and a few days later, the Center for Enterprise was born, and that's what we've built. We're built on the Learn model. Greg, as you know, I followed you around all the conferences for the first couple of years and really kind of embedded the business model, the best practices into the core of who we are. And so we operate primarily as a contract training unit. We do have an open enrollment and a continuing education division. That makes up for about 20% of our overall revenue. Contract training is 80% of it, the bulk of what it is that we do. And we have a very entrepreneurial approach where we have salespeople who are out in the field making B2B sales. We look at our customers as long-term partners, and our engagement strategy is to get embedded within these companies. We found a target market and a niche market that we really fit with, and our services can provide tremendous value. But at the end of the day, it's all about making revenue here. We don't chase contact hours. It's all about ROI. And we've got a team of 5 full-time individuals that are dedicated to working inside of contract training. Myself, 2 salespeople, a programmer that builds curriculum, and a director who helps me on the operational side. It's been a great ride, and we have lofty goals. And here in rural Nebraska, you know, workforce development and professional development are part of the how that Northeast Community College is reaching out, trying to support and grow our rural revitalization initiatives. It's been a great ride.
That's terrific. I mean, it's very clear that the Center for Enterprise is definitely one of the most successful contract training teams or units in North America. So you were saying a few things about why you were successful, but from your perspective, you know, just a few other things while you think you guys are able to sell contracts maybe better than others can.
Well, I'll tell you, it starts with leadership support. And so as a vice president, I report directly to our president. Our president, who launched the CFE alongside me at the time, was tremendously supportive. Our model would not fit in a lot of educational institutions, and it was a bumpy road for us to get started. We operate differently. We struggle day in and day out trying to deeply connect ourselves with our academic programs. We've made some huge strides, but I would say that's the number one thing, Greg, that has really helped. You know, I sit at the cabinet table. Not only do I have the president's support, my peers and all of our vice presidents are very engaged in what it is that we do. And we help them through their leadership development programs internally as well. The other side of it is constantly focusing on the business. So I'm fortunate that I have a staff. We've hired and trained and fully developed the right people in the right roles. We use the DISC behavioral profile to really assist us in doing that. And I can spend, you know, about 50% of my week is spent in strategy, whether that's strategy for the college or strategy for the Center for Enterprise. I am not embedded in the day-to-day operations of either the college or my team. And so as a leader, I think in order to grow in this business, you have to constantly be thinking about and evaluating what it is that you're doing and how are you going to do those things better tomorrow? And what is your client really telling you that you're not hearing and not listening to? Trying to forecast where they're going, you know, using the Wayne Gretzky, you know, skate to where the puck's going to be. And then, of course, it's all around sales and filling the funnel and constantly be, you know, marketing yourself. We do a lot of brand awareness and getting in front of clients, you know, doing it the old fashioned way. Handshakes. You know, I call it around here shaking hands and kissing babies. We do a lot of it. And everybody in our business community should know who we are. They might not be ready for us today. But eventually we're trying to build long-range partnerships within our network.
That's great. I mean, I really love your two points about one, you got to sit at the table, and two, that you in your seat really have to spend time looking at the next 3 to 5 years out, because I do see those as two reasons why other programs or organizations I work with are successful. So that's great. So let's dig into why we're here today. You guys embed consulting and coaching into your contracts. Explain what it is. Explain how you do it.
Absolutely. Those are really two different concepts here at Northeast. And I'll give them to you, I guess, you know, separately. And I'll tie the bow at the end. We developed a consultative services department about 3 years ago where I myself started to do, you know, some light strategic planning out of a request from one of our businesses for me, where they asked me to facilitate a conversation for them around their current strategic plan. The idea during one of my own personal strategy sessions arose where I said, you know what, I bet we could package this and sell this as a service to others. We've done so, and it's relatively successful. I also have packaged and utilize the Purdue's strategic doing model, which I really like, and it's shown great results for us. But out of that came the idea of how do we now take this to our program level in each one of our courses or series? So we're not a shop anymore that sells one-off trainings. We'll do it occasionally. It's how we started. You know, it's how most programs, I think, start. You know, someone calls up and they need Excel training. So, you swoop in, you provide level 2 Excel training to 10 people, and then you're gone, they're invoiced, and you wait for the phone to ring again. Our model is to deeply embed ourselves inside of organizations. And so we start by doing a needs assessment and what we call a discovery, and then we dive in and try to get them to commit to long-range strategies or series. So an example of coaching, which has been extremely effective, we do about 70% of our work is in the leadership, soft skills, or what I like to call power skills arena. And so now we offer right out of the gate to embed coaching to the individual employees that are going through our leadership series. So between sessions 1 and 2, they get a 1-hour individual private coaching session with the trainer one-on-one through our Zoom platform. And what they're doing is reviewing week one's content and then preparing for week 2. And it's been a great engagement for the individual employee to really begin to feel comfortable and ask all the questions, and for our trainer to really go, you know, inch deep or inch wide, mile deep with a lot of our folks on certain things that individual employee is really struggling with. Not only has it been really effective, but it also produces a tremendous ROI to us. And so that's why we lead. If we're going to offer out a leadership series in a proposal, we have it embedded in. And when they ask me to, you know, why is the price where it might be or those types of things, I always go back to them and tell them I'm happy to remove value. And the first thing that I would probably suggest we remove is the coaching. And 8 out of 10 times, at the end of the conversation, they want it embedded in. They've never felt it before, and it really answers the long-term effectiveness question. You know, the sustainability in our world, Greg, is a real big question that I think a lot of us leaders need to spend more time. How sustainable are the programs that we're delivering? And coaching has been one of those things that as of right now, I can lay my head on my pillow at night saying we're at least offering them a chance for long-term sustainability.
I really like that. I think that was interesting. You talked about the two buckets, sort of one bucket being we do consulting, you know, instead of just doing training, whatever, we do consulting. But on the flip side, we do coaching, which could come out of the consulting or could come out of a training or whatever. And I think that's great. So you start to talk about the money side of it. So how does it impact your pricing?
Well, what's great about it is the only cost we have is our trainers' consulting time. And I've negotiated a reduced hourly rate for them, primarily because they can sit at home in a hotel, wherever they may be, and they simply log on to a computer. They schedule the individual times. And these coaching sessions are happening at days and times during the morning, at night, evenings, whenever. We don't even know when they're happening. And it's built out similar to how a lawyer would. So we sell them in bulk. And so through a leadership series, a five-part leadership series that has 10 individuals in it, we're going to sell them those, you know, 5 times 10 or 50 hours of coaching. All I have in it in cost is my instructor's time. And so, you know, we bill that out at almost $100 an hour. And, you know, as I subtract out what I'm paying my instructor to do the coaching time, it's about a 70% margin.
Wow. That's really good.
And it is really, really added ROI. It is a growing piece of our business. And now we're actually being asked to provide what I would consider almost executive level coaching outside of training programs.
Wow. And that in itself is probably going to generate more business because now you're convincing the executives that you guys are good at what you're doing.
Right.
I really like that. So, I mean, are there challenges to this? I mean, does it work all the time? Have you run into some problems where maybe you've changed sort of how you've delivered consulting and coaching?
Yeah, there are some challenges to it. Dedicating the time to the consulting or the consulting, especially on the strategic planning, you know, it takes a lot of my time. Right now, we're probably not charging what my time is worth and what the impact and the results that they're getting, similar to how a private company would, though that I'm competing with in the marketplace. But we almost look at it a little bit like that, you know, that lack of revenue. And it's not that we're doing it for free. We're making great margin on it. But when I went and analyzed what others are charging for this type of service, you know, we're probably at about 60% of that. But our sales team really looks at it like a lost leader, because once I'm done doing a coaching engagement, we've got about a year, 2 if not 3 years worth of training that have come from that. They're very comfortable with me. They're very comfortable with our model, what it is that we do, you know, and now I'm deeply embedded in everything that they're doing for the next 3 to 5 years. And so it's really worked out. But one of those things is, you know, we got into it and we were probably underpricing, and I would say be pretty firm. You know, the value that we bring to the table, sometimes we're our worst critics. And what I like to do is I actually leverage the opinions of some of my closest friends, professional friends, some CEOs that we've worked with for 6 years now. When I roll out a program, I'll run it by them. Ask them for their input. And at the end of the day, I'll tell them, listen, this is kind of what I'm thinking about going to market price wise. What do you think? And they provide me great input. You know, some of the other challenges would be, you know, it works really well when you have one trainer who's going to provide the entire leadership series. It does get a little clunky. For instance, if we've got a 5-part leadership series where, you know, we might have 3 trainers delivering, you know, their own part of it. Like who's going to be the coach? Is it the trainer from the first session or the trainer from the upcoming session? And we've tried both ways. I can tell you it does not work well when you're asking a coach to coach someone they've never met. And so now we're always doing the coaching in a reactive way. So if you're a trainer and you train session 2 on motivating employees, you're going to be the coach between session two and session three. And sometimes we have to provide them a little bit of input as to as what's going to be delivered in the third part of that series, even if that specific trainer is not going to be delivering it. But I can tell you that's one of the things that we learned early on, that if I was going to do it, I would model it the way that we're doing it now.
Okay. So if I were selling for you, what are some of the tips you might give me in order to try to sell these types of contracts?
Well, first I would tell you, I don't want to see you from Monday afternoon until Friday afternoon.
Oh, that sounds good.
That's the first thing. Getting salespeople out of their office is the hardest challenge we've had. And, you know, you as a leader own part of that. You know, so, you know, you got to get them off the committees and you got to make sure that you schedule all of your internal meetings and provide them the resources necessary. You know, so but once they've got that and they've really felt kind of how it is that we work and what my level of expectations are, it's really about having the casual conversations. And so now that we lead with them during our intro discovery, we talk about how it is that we're different. And so, for instance, if I'm competing with another contract training unit for a piece of business or even a private company, and the private companies are the easiest because none of them are involved in coaching. They are selling three ring binders and that's exactly what we're not. It's all about, you know, when we say contract training, I really think that we need to focus on the customized contract training. Because in my opinion, anyone can sell contract training and deliver it in three ring binders. How are we different? Is we customize our material and we're providing them added value and added benefit that, quite frankly, a lot of the other competitors just won't take the time to do.
Right.
There's a little bit of a knack to getting your salespeople to kind of slow down, and that might sound a little odd coming from a sales manager or the leader of a team, but spending quality time with our partners, anybody that's now considered a partner. You know, we got to spend a lot of quality time with them to make sure that we fully understand what's going on inside those organizations. You know, it's not necessarily a high volume cold call environment. We have a limited number of businesses we can communicate with anyway here in rural Nebraska. But it's finding those that have the right mission, vision, and values that connect to us. And then once we know that long term, they're looking to grow revenue with their people, not necessarily through their people, which i.e. means that they're committed to growing the group that they have and onboarding the right new employees. Those are the ones that we want to laser in on. And keeping salespeople focused on what it is that we do and why we do it sometimes can be a challenge, but that's part of you as a leader's responsibility.
That's great stuff. I mean, even with all those things you were talking about, you were giving us even just general tips on how to be successful selling contracts. So that's great. And our sort of time is coming to an end here. So, you know, I'd like to thank you, Eric, for sharing your great member success story and keep up the terrific work. You guys are leaders in the field and it's providing the rest of us some great best practices and benchmarks and strategies to lean on. And I'd like to thank our Learn Member Success Story LearnCast listeners. Remember to contact info@learn.org for information that works and answers to your toughest questions. So take care and many thanks.
Thanks.